have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hey, this is Nina Taylor on Elation Radio, now being heard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, giving you nothing but the best in great music, ministry, and more. And don't forget to check me out with the gospel news right here with my girl Kimmy Kim on Elation Radio.
All right. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful with my friend, Shay Sam. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes! That was your Friday. We are back. Oh, my goodness. I'm just so blessed just to have this opportunity to come back and showcase wonderful people doing wonderful work. In the community. It's all about fun on Fellowship Friday. And once again, welcome to Fellowship Friday with Kimmy Kim. And I miss you guys so much. I'm just grateful to be back. I had to take a mental break, get back in line, see what God has for me. And now I am back, and I'm so honored to be in the blessing of others. And we have an amazing, beautiful sister. And by the way, she's my cousin. She's doing wonderful work in the Lord. for work because she has a beautiful heart. I cannot wait till you meet her. Her name is, I love her name, my angel. Attorney, my angel Cody. She'll be on shortly before I bring her on. I would like to pray, but please, family, follow her. She is attorney out of the St. Chicago area. She now lives in one of my favorite cities, Miami. So I'll be coming to visit her in 2022. But before we begin the prayer, I just want to give you her a bio, and then also follow her on my angel Cody, M-I-A-N-G-E-L, Cody, C-O-D-Y.com. And she will also bring on, talk about information that she's doing, but just a brief. It's so much. She's doing so much work, but she is attorney. She picks locks to prison cages. She is nationally recognized for her dedicated defense of men and women sentenced to life in federal prison. My angel, hundreds of people in the federal court. So if you know someone who needs help and they're in that cage, as she says, for not doing something that they did, please reach out to her. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to showcase and honor those who are doing wonderful work in you. I thank you for this platform. I want to give a shout out to you and Jesus, and I make this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Without further ado, I'm going to bring my sister, my cousin, the beautiful attorney, my angel, Cody. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you? How are you, Cody? Hi, listeners. Thank you for
having me. I am doing great. I'm just so grateful to have you on. You're amazing and beautiful inside and out. This is for you again.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much.
So grateful to have you on, and I have been following you, and I'm just so grateful to know you. You have a beautiful heart. You love people, and you're beautiful from the inside and outside. And so before we begin this wonderful fellowshipping time, can you tell the listeners, who is attorney my angel Cody?
Yeah, at my core, believe that I am a healer. I've always wanted to be a healer. I originally thought I was going to be a doctor and then figured out that was not for me, being in a lab. And I wanted better lighting for my day job. So I heal. And I think what I am most committed to is healing families that have been broken apart by mass incarceration and imprisonment.
Wow. I love that. You're to the point, and I love the fact that you said you are a healer. And I have seen so many wonderful profiles and so many testimonies from people that you have healed, and it has touched my core. And I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing.
How did you know
that this is for you? How did you know that this work is for you? What's for you?
You know, I think that it's most important for us to find what is our spiritual purpose and to be, to move in that light and to move with that spiritual force. And for me, I've done this work many times without pay, financial pay, but I felt so filled up, and filling my cup, doing it.
That
to me is most important, and that's how I know that that this work is for me, and I know that there's still a place in my journey going forward in it because it is still fulfilling me.
You said something that was very profound. You said without pay. You have your own rent. You have your own expenses. But just because you have your own things that you have to do, How was it in the beginning in knowing that you were serving the community at no price? And how did you make it? Because people think, because they see your story now, but they don't understand what you have to go through to get to where you are now, because serving is, there is no cost. And you must give it, you must give your service wholeheartedly or don't do it at all. If you can't do it 180, don't do it. So what was it like, your first client? That was amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think, just to give you a sense of what it was like, I worked at a large law firm, corporate law firm in Chicago, on the 66th floor of the Sears Tower, had all the bells and whistles. I had all the salary and all of the support, and just realized that my journey was going to take me in a different direction, and that was working with and standing with and walking with people who were in prison crisis. And so I worked for about 10 years as a public defender in Chicago and decided that my purpose was even deeper than that, and I wanted to just work with people who were serving life sentences. Now, what that means is that, you know, I made a deliberate decision to stand beside people who could not afford counsel because they're in prison and their families are, most of my clients are Black. And so, you know, I had to make the decision, you know, do I want to go from a very high six-figure pay cut down to not only representing people at no cost, but sometimes I'm paying their court fees, right? So there are a lot of people who would never do their job without getting pay. And then there are some people who would do their job for free for a little while. But, you know, I think that you find your purpose when you would pay to do it. Like, I believe in it so much that I understand that it's all going to come back to me. And what I've found and walking in that direction is I have more now than I ever had when I worked at the law firm. And I believe it's because the divine math is in my favor right now.
And you mentioned something, another thing that was profound. You have more now than you had before because you had all the riches that you could ever ask for. You have all your necessities. You can go get your, you know, anything that you want to buy. But you have more now than before. Explain that.
Right.
To people.
Yeah. I think what happens is when you're in an environment that may not align with who you are, you're constantly trying to find ways to make yourself more comfortable in that environment, right? So you buy it. You might be shopping more than usual, buying bags and clothes and going out and all these things because you're spending money. It's the tax that you pay for unhappiness. And I found that when I moved into what I really, truly love and what makes me happy, I don't have to spend that money putting Band-Aids on those emotional wounds. And so I just was able to save up more and create a fuller and honestly a more healthful and wealthy life for myself. So that, for me, just taking a step back and looking at who I was at both chapters in my life, there's things I learned, you know, at the law firm that I still use today. But I'm joyful right now. I love it. And it's not easy. It's not easy work, you know. My opposing counsel is the United States of America. So when I go into court, there's me and there's another lawyer across the podium who represents the United States government. And I think that it has always been important to be deeply rooted in who I am, what my purpose is, the families that I'm fighting for, and the people in prison who don't deserve to be there, to bring that to the podium.
Oh, my goodness. My cousin, Attorney Cody, I just love your heart. I mean, I'm just sitting here and wow. I mean, you're going against the government. You're paying the court fees for your client. And you just mentioned that you are so joyful now. You have much joy than you had when you had those wonderful things, like the wonderful corner office and the, you know, the things that, you know, we tend to think that's going to make us happy, which they don't, because they come up short each time. So I just love you. You're just amazing. What is the name of your organization, if you don't mind me asking?
Absolutely. We are the Decarceration Collective. So everyone's heard the word incarceration, but we are decarceration, D-E-carceration, which means that we are a 100% woman-powered law office. We represent people who are sentenced to life in prison, and we're fighting to dismantle the unfair laws that put them there. So, yeah, we're woman-led and woman-powered. And have a big vision. Yeah.
I saw your profile, and I saw all those beautiful women. I mean, you guys are stylish, fashionable, and you still, you know, you're smart, and you have it all, and you still have this this wonderful heart of serving in the community. I love the woman power. Because one of the things I've come to realize that we can work together when we know who we are and when it comes to our spiritual walk. And when you understand who you are in your spiritual walk, you can be blessed and she can be blessed all at the same time. And we don't have to, you know, really compete but collaborate with one another. So what is it like in knowing that you are female, law firm, you're in the community helping those, and you are having a great time, but it's hard work because anything that's worth having is going to require long hours, and there are times you're going to be, you have your emotions, your ups and your downs. But what is it like in knowing that you are in your purpose? Because we have so many people thinking that making millions and knowing these people will really complete you, but no, it comes up short. And knowing that what your passion is and your purpose is so amazing. Explain to the listener, how does that feel, that feeling of knowing that you're doing all that you can do, and, you know, based on what your assignment is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a beautiful question because I think that you're right. There are the day-to-day stresses, and there are times when something didn't get filed or you're up against a deadline. But what I found is that when you're moving in your purpose and you're moving with that intentionality, that I, above all, know that whatever those stresses are, they will pass. You know, that the canvas that I am and that I'm working from is purpose-driven. And so, you know, sometimes the clouds come, but then you see that they move away. And behind that is still the canvas for me of joy and peace and understanding. And so, you know, those nights when I have been up for 2 days, I'm still writing a brief, you know, I've crossed over whatever I'm writing, you know, I think there's a place for that, especially for me as, you know, a woman who is fighting hard, is that, you know, my tears and my emotions and how I feel about every one of the men and women who I represent water their briefs, you know, before I send them off. I say a prayer that, you know, that they will come home. And so I think that the ultimately the stillness of the peace and being sure, right? There's few times, you know, are we certain? Like, I can't be certain that I'm going to win every case, but I'm sure that I am on the right side of history.
And another thing, we're not meant to win every case, but you gave it all that you can give. And that's all we can do because, unfortunately, I still believe that this society is really fixed for black men. But I love the fact that you said, I may not be able to win all of them, but I'm still going to bring my game 100% each time. And with that being said, I just love, like, when you showcase your testimonies of another one, and you have touched so many families. What is one memory that stands out?
Well, I would say that you know, the first win that I had was very important because, you know, the first time is you're going up against naysayers, and sometimes, you know, you're in a way that historically hasn't happened, right? So when I first did my first life sentence case, Obama was president. He had not granted a clemency before, so he had not ordered any person free before. And, you know, I just had this person who I represented. He'd been in prison for 23 years. He was 19, got caught up. It was his first offense, and he got life without parole in the feds, right? And so, you know, I just felt like this was a person who had just been thrown away. And without anyone ever knowing what his story was, his story of struggle and redemption and contrition. And so I spent a year writing that brief, sent it off, walked it myself to the post office, put my stamps on it, gave it to the clerk, and sent it to Washington, D.C. And a year later, got a call from the White House that President Obama had signed the order granting my clients immediate freedom that day. So,
oh, my goodness. Look at God. Now, that is what I'm talking about.
You know? Absolutely. And there's no playbook, you know, and I think that's the lesson in the sermon in it, is that there is no playbook. There was no one in my office had ever done a petition before.
Yes.
I couldn't how to win clemency. I didn't need to. And I think that I hope that people who are listening take that and move forward, is that sometimes there isn't a playbook, but there's still a way.
There is no playbook in something that God gives you that's so big for you that you don't know where to begin. He just says, go do it. I'm like, okay, wow. You're going against federal with your first case. You didn't know how it would be, what the ending, what kind of outcomes it would be. Secondly, President Obama at that time has not granted any type of clemency or freedom to anyone. Wow.
Right.
Your faith is strong, because it takes strength and your belief in knowing that you're doing the right thing in the community to continue on going against those, you know, who says, no, it's not going to happen. Just going to be another,
right.
You know, but you believe in your heart. I just love this. And you're so meek, mild, and calm about it. I mean, you have the same demeanor as, you know, growing up as now. Nothing has changed. You're just doing wonderful work in the Lord. And, you know, you have sometimes people who have changed who they are because they're giving you so much attention. But you still been the same. What keeps you so humble?
Yeah, you know, I think that I realize that I'm still a student of what I do, right? And I'm still learning how to do it better. And my own mastership of what I'm doing is not complete. And so that really, really gives me the humility that I need to keep going, because, you know, we've all faced some sort of burnout in our lives, with burnout from our jobs or relationships or whatever it is. And I think one thing that I am trying to cultivate more of is being a student in my own life and figuring out what more do I have to learn here. And so I feel that with the law. I feel that with my own spirituality. I feel that in relationships that I have with people and how I'm moving.
Mm. Well, it's hard to do fellowship parties for 30 minutes with you because you have so many outlet. I also, listeners, please follow her. But I want to ask you, who is my angel outside of the court? What do you do for fun? What are some of the hobbies to take on? I mean, I know there's times you have to have your downtime. What is your me time? I really believe in doing you, the me time, self-care. What are some of the things that you do to remain fresh?
Yeah. I meditate. I do that. I have a very, very devoted meditation practice. I love travel, and I love being with my family, which, as you know, we have a huge family, and so.
Yeah, so we'll be back in Miami. We're coming to Miami to see you. In May.
Exactly. Yes. You know, that feeds me. That fills me up because at my core, you know, I'm someone's daughter and granddaughter, and I'm one leaf mm-hmm. on a very large tree.
I love your mom.
So I love all that. I love all of those things.
And personal, you remind me so much of your mom, so beautiful inside and out, lovely smile you can ever see from miles away. Mm-hmm. You are so amazing. I must admit that when I saw you for the first time on television, I was like, wow. I first saw your interview on MSN, and you were simply amazing. And I love the fact that you are representing not only family, but Black women in a positive way. You know, those little reality shows really put us down, but you came on with a strong determination, a strong conviction. And I was like, see, that's the example of how I see Black women. Those are the Black women that I hang around with. We don't do those things like putting each other down, uplifting. We represent ourselves. So I just want to get a kudos to you for doing that. I was really proud of you. I was like, oh, my goodness, that is a Black woman. That is who I see. That's how I see myself. Someone who's making a difference, powerful, and at the same time, still having fun in life. With that being said, when God calls us home and, you know, we get our wings, what kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
Oh, I definitely want to leave a legacy of leadership, and I hope that young women, particularly young Black girls, will look not at me now, but, you know, think about, like, who was she as a little Black girl, right? And see themselves in their journey, because that's what happened for me, that, you know, as you know, our family is highly matriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
There's seven sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to leave a legacy that makes my family proud and that lives up to and has used the tools and talents that were put into my DNA.
Wow. And you know, in your statements, I have this thing with you. It's all about servitude. I mean, your responses are just humbling and so soothing, because it tells me that you know who you are. You don't mean you want to validate who you are as a person, and you're very secure. And that is what makes a good person. Know who you are, knowing you're secure, then you're able to help others who are looking for, you know, how did you get there? How did you make it? And you're showing us that it's okay to share, to collaborate. Thank you so much for being the way you are,
yeah.
And that's actually who you are. So this is for you.
Yeah.
I just have to give you an episode. So where can people find you? Let's say, for instance, they may have someone in federal court, and I may have someone who would love to interview you and show you off again, because I'm telling you, I see a book coming. I see some more things coming your way. I know you're a writer. You are an author. You
mm-hmm.
also do other things. What, before we go, what other things do you do? You're a writer. You do so much.
Yeah. I'm a writer, lawyer, producer. I have quite a bit of content
fashion
out
model.
There.
Yeah. I'll put it out there.
No, I just take pictures. Yeah, you know, obviously I do like public commentating, particularly about justice in America. So you can see me sometimes on your nightly news, on MSNBC or Black News Tonight. So yeah, so that's
oh, I did not know that. You had to let us know these things, my sister.
Absolutely. So definitely, if you want to follow me on Instagram, my handle is @ Lawyer My Angel, so LAWYERMIANGEL. You can always find me on Facebook. I'm there as well. If you would like to, if you know someone who is in prison, in federal prison, and they have a life sentence for drugs, then you can submit a case review request to my team of lawyers. We will take a look at it. You just type in decarcerationlaw.com/inquiry. So that's decarcerationlaw.com/inquiry.
Awesome. And we'll have to close out. It's very hard to do 30 minutes with you because I could go on and on. But I would love for you to give us an encouraging word for the remainder of the week of what we can meditate on, because meditation is important for your inner spirit man and woman. And so I'm going to leave with that. And I just want to thank you once again, listeners, for coming on to my first episode of 2022 with my cousin, the beautiful, my angel, Cody. And please follow her. She is so amazing. I love her. That's for you. You get all flowers for me. Nothing but love. And I just
thank
love
you.
I just see your mom. I see my I see your mom and you. You just remind me of her so much. And I want to give you the platform. And once again, listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, everyone, I hope that you always know that your path and your way forward is protected and is guided by your inner compass. Each of us experiences low points and high points and everything in between, but there's something deep inside of you that is worthy of all goodness and all grace and all mercy and all healing and all forgiveness, and all those things start with you.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Beautiful, and thank you once again for coming on, and we're going to close out with
thank
You Are a Winner with Crystal Medicine, and my cousin, my angel attorney, my angel Cody. Thank you once again for this opportunity to be able to serve you, and I'm really grateful that we have this talk, and have a blessed last one, and I love you.
Yeah, be blessed. Much love. Love you too. Blessings, everyone.
Okay, listeners, have a great evening. Thank you so much once again for coming on Fellowship Friday with Kim and Kim. Thank you, Jerry Ward, for this wonderful opportunity. We are on iHeart, Spotify, YouTube. Just follow us, Relation Radio, and you will be able to hear on the replays. I cannot wait. I love you. Peace.
And you're down for the count. You feel like life has thrown you blows, and God ain't been around. But I've come to encourage you to hold your head high. Know that God is in your corner now. More inner light.